You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our Father in God, we bow before you with thanksgiving, in thanksgiving. So deal with us, Spirit of God, take your word, honor our Lord and Father, that you would be pleased in all of it. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, looking at God in his wonderful person, think of our studies in Hebrews this morning. God is God from start to finish. Now, having said that, God has a wonderful plan, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So the reason we're born is because God had a wonderful purpose and plan in giving us creation to create us. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan in creating us that he would then go and pay the price to redeem us, to save us. Why did he want to save us? That we would be to his honor and glory, to show his grace and his mercy, to show his saving, awesome care, his love. That's what he wants. Now, having said that, so therefore born in Bethlehem of Judea and all the way to the cross, he's in the upper room. He's going to go out to the cross. So in John chapter 16, being in the upper room, etc., before he goes to a trial and his crucifixion. And the disciples are all, as we've said 100 times here, the disciples are all concerned. The end, he's going to die, be crucified, captured, crucified. Their whole world has come to an end, their dream, their aspirations, their future, everything they counted on. They put all their apples in his basket. And it isn't going to work out. It's all done. That's awful, awesome. And they just didn't understand. So therefore, they're all, chapter 16, God had said, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Don't stumble at what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. So, and he went through and we did all of this. And we came to verse 6, and they were just so out of it. Because, verse 6, and because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart, and they're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed, they're overloaded, they're buried in what's happening and how it's happening. And there's no room. There's no room. Their heart, their mind is carrying so much. There's no way for them to carry anything else. So to give them some news to help them, they have no way to, the mind's so full, no way to get in. So dominated by what they're thinking about. That happens to us. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, he then told them the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, which they didn't understand yet. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry would provide for them a unique comfort, an unique to come alongside, to aid, to help, as an ally, to encourage, to strengthen. God, the Holy Spirit, would do a wonderful thing for them, to help them. The comfort. He's the comforter. And he isn't going to comfort them by telling them wonderful things about their future, themselves, or their world, or how to fix anything. That isn't the comfort. That may be included in some form or shape. But that isn't the comfort. No, the comfort's going to come from finding out whom they have been with for 3 1/3 years. To come to find out the one who's going to be crucified and why he's crucified. and they're going to find out. So therefore, we share together that the Spirit of God, verse 8, is going to convict them, reprove, convict, convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we went through them. Of sin because of their unbelief, not in me. And they wouldn't believe. And what were the believers? And of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So now, having said that, that's what the Spirit of God's going to do. He's going to convict them all about God in Christ, in them. Remember, they are to be his witnesses. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one crucified. He's the righteous one that was able to go and bear our sins in his own body in the tree and finish his work and go to the cross. He is the one who is judged. He is the judge of all the earth. He's the judge, period. All judgment is his. And he has judged the prince of this world, the devil, which is what started this thing way back yesterday. And he's judged him. And we shared those things. That's their comfort. That's their assignment. And remember in John 17, you're right there just to make sure you see it. You know it. John 17 and verse 18. As my Father, as thou hast sent me, Father, into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And that's the assignment. You're going to get know the Lord as your Savior. God created you. God died for you. And you are his witnesses by that in an unbelieving world. An unbelieving world that loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they don't want light. And you are going to be his witnesses. Now, it was true in the Old Testament, but never like it is in the New Testament as us whosoever's. Why? Where is the conviction? It's about the Spirit of God's going to convict about Christ believing, a Christ righteousness, Christ's judgment. It isn't about anybody else's judgment or anyone else's righteousness. It's his. So when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God is going to go and continue, which is why you're saved by grace, to continue his ministry. What is his ministry? The Spirit of God. To exalt and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Creator and the Savior, and to honor him. Therefore, the Spirit of God is going to go, and it isn't honoring us. We're to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:12, as our personal Savior. We become a child of God, a son of God, a joint heir. But it isn't about us. It's about the one who saves us. It's about our God who created us. So it's about him. So the conviction isn't going to come from communism, socialism, or somewhere else. Ungodly people that love darkness rather than light are in the dark. They don't want anything to do. They crucified him, even the Jews. We have no king but Caesar. So we're in the dark. So we aren't going to convict anybody about Jesus Christ. The believer is. The believer is the whosoever. That is their awesome assignment. God in the believing whosoever heart is going to go and convict the world of what? He saves them. He's the only Savior. All other sin has been forgiven on Calvary's cross so that you can say to whosoever, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can say it and believe it. Wonderful. Wonderful. And what are we doing? We are the trophies. We are vehicles for God to display what? His Son, the only Savior. He saves us. We are to enjoy being saved, being forgiven, being free from sin. We're to enjoy being saved. We don't deserve to be saved. We said all those things. You got an old nature and all of those rotten things. There's no question. But we're to be saved, wonderfully, wonderfully saved. And we acknowledge the Lord, thou shalt confess in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. We believe in our heart that God saves us. And we're to enjoy being saved. Morning, noon, night, easy, hard, much, little. We're saved. We're saved. Hang on to that. And secondly, we're going to comfort us. And what are you going to show the world as you send us, representing our Lord, the highest, awesomest thing there is, to represent God in Christ? That's awesome. Now, that's why the devil fell, the anointed cherub that covereth. His glory was so unique, Ezekiel 28, so awesomely, wonderfully unique, that all the angels, that they, because you couldn't miss him, he's where he sits and his position. And therefore, when he fell, when he claimed that for himself, all of that disappeared. But he was glorious. So what are we doing? You're taking little whosoever's, 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. You're taking little creatures of whosoever's in vessels made of clay and dust. And you're using us to display your grace, that you're the Savior. You are the righteous one. You are the righteous one. God demands and requires righteousness, which he provides. And the righteousness that is demanded is God himself. And we don't have it. There is none righteous, no, not one. We don't pass the test. We don't come up with a spotless Son of God, sinless. We don't do that. He's the righteous one. What did he do when you got saved? He made you a child of God and made you righteous in his righteousness. He gave you his rightness, not your righteousness, not my righteousness, but his. So the rightness you have right now, as far in the God's presence, the rightness you have is his. So we don't have to keep looking to try to be right enough, good enough, etc., etc. We fail, we fall, we fumble, we fall down. There's no question. But we're saved. Uh-huh. And the righteousness, do you want to look for it? It's in Christ Jesus, who you received as your Savior. That's where your righteousness is. And that's how you get along with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God, not in myself, I have no credentials in Christ, in his righteousness, in his saving grace. God, we got all the credentials to be a son, to be a child of God. Wow. So we exercise that righteousness. And that righteousness, we're to enjoy it and stop trying to be, I'm right and you're wrong. To enjoy just God's righteousness simply and wonderfully on a 24-hour basis. And thirdly, judgment. Judgment. We should be judged. God judges the angels, as you know, and all that. Matthew 25. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. We know that. But God, because we don't want to believe, what are you going to do with us, God? We don't want to be saved. We don't want to believe. I know you died for me. That's why I'm able to be born. I'm able to be saved. That's why you offer me to believe, to tell me to believe, to be saved. But if I don't want to, then I'm going to do what? What are you going to do? Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And you're going to end up with him. His judgment. His judgment. Now, having his judgment, dear friends, what are we going to do? But God, when we got saved, you made us able to be righteous in your Son. And thus, because Christ died and paid the penalty and judged the devil, John 3 and 18, we are not condemned. The word condemned, judged. We're not judged. Think of Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Zero. We deserve to be. No question. We wouldn't play with it. You're right. Except Christ died and took my judgment. He bore in his own body on the tree my sin. He took my whole yesterday, today, and tomorrow onto the cross. Now, having said that wonderful, wonderful truth, now having said that, it's one thing you know to say that and to say that. Oh, wonderful. Well, that's the assignment. As my Father sent me, so send I you. You're going to represent Christ in his wonderful saving grace, in his beautiful righteousness, in his wonderful judgment that you're not condemned, and you're giving opportunity to show grace instead of wrath in these days of grace. You're able to show that. That's an awesome assignment. That's better than anything you could dream of, wish for, anything. All Moses would have loved that. But you got it as a believer. Well, you know, it's one thing to say all those to them, to the apostles, to the disciples then. But it's another thing to experience it. It's a whole another thing to live it. Isn't it? It's a whole different ballgame. We say truth, wonderful truth. It's a whole other thing to be enjoying the truth. An apple, a pear, a peach, a plum, all of those are wonderful. But you don't enjoy them. You can't tell me about them till you have eaten them, tasted them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you understand? You can't tell me you love the peaches because you haven't even never eaten a peach. You have no idea what that peach is like till you eat that peach. Then you can tell me about the peach. So I can't, God, it's an awesome thing. But, it's a whole other thing to live it. Therefore, chapter 16 of Gospel of John, picking up, please, in verse 12. God, what do you say next? You know their problem. Now, the Lord knows what we just said. It's just going to need something else for them. They can't enjoy any of this. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them. You aren't ready for it. You aren't ready. You know, when you were four years old, you didn't have to worry about being a 10-year-old, did you? You were 4 years old. And 4-year-olds don't care about 10-year-olds because they're only 4 years old. And that's all they think about is 4 years old, whatever four is. That's what you do. And 10-year-olds don't care about 20-year-olds. They know. They just haven't got there. Even though the world's trying to make them get there at 10. So what are we looking at, God? We're looking at you. You got to grow. You do. You don't grow. You know, mathematics is good. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. I'll stop there so I don't make any mistakes. Do you understand? But you kids can't go. First grade or whatever you're doing, to count to 2. You got to take 2 and you got to have addition. You got to have subtraction, multiplication, division. You got to keep doing that, don't you? You have to keep doing it. And then it isn't even enough, because then, depending on just the culture and the society in which you live in, the type of job and everything, you got to learn a little bit about algebra, geometry, trigonometry. You got to have a little bit of something. How do you know angles, 45-degree angle, 45, you know, 45, et cetera? You got to learn. But if you don't learn, you don't grow. So here you are, 30 years old, and you still haven't passed 4 years old yet. Would that be good? No, that isn't good. You're supposed to grow up. Well, I got saved. I got saved 35 years ago. Good. After 35 years, let's see, you should have something. You learned something, didn't you? You must have learned something. What did you learn? tell me how you've advanced in 35 years. Well, I go to church, that's good. I read the Bible, daily bread, whatever, that's good. How much have you grown? What do you know about God? Think of what we did in Hebrews this morning. Awesome truth about God. Wow. Wow. So God, when you're looking at us, he said, you got to grow. I have many things, but you couldn't carry them. A four-year-old isn't ready for a 10-year-old study. They aren't ready yet. So we get saved. There's nothing wrong with being saved. Nothing wrong with milk. Hebrews 5. There's nothing wrong with milk. You need milk. But you can't have steak when you're 2 months old, usually. You just can't do it. You have to wait. You can't digest it. You've got to grow. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, Lord, they have an awesome assignment, but they've got to grow. And you make it very clear. They aren't ready. They aren't ready to carry anymore. The word bear means to carry, to lift up and walk off with, to carry it. They can't bear them anymore. Look, would you please, in the light of that, we share together just to see it in these things. Many things, verse 12, many things. Go back up to verse 3. And these things will they do unto you. Verse 4, these things have I told you, etc., etc. Verse 25, just to see it. These things have I spoken unto you. Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you. I'm going to give you, but the whole pile of stuff you got to learn. Well, I can't learn it sitting out fishing somewhere or doing something. I have to be somewhere where I'm going to learn it. How am I going to go? Well, I'm a Christian. I've been Christian, but you ever go, no, do you know anything? No, you don't know. Tell me about God. I don't know. How does God, what's God like? I don't know. What's holiness mean? What's it mean? He doesn't know measurements. Everything's in the middle of God. There's nothing outside of God. There is no outside. God's universe. And here's the space people floating around up there. What are we doing? God, that's an awesome universe. With all of its trillion T galaxies, 2 trillion or so, whatever, they can't count them. In the light of it, they can't count the money either. They just push buttons, you know. Say 3 trillion, 10 trillion. What's the difference? A button, right? A button and some zeros after it. Wow. So God, what are we going to do? Well, here's all the galaxies. It is a small, finite, the universe is a finite, small expression of the infinite God. And here we are. Now, God, what is we got a lot to learn. And these things have I spoken unto you. So therefore, God, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God, you want us. Now, what things, and let's do one thing that will help us now, because they needed to know some things. Now, probably you and I do too. We need to grow, and we need to know. And you can't know without growing. And when you're growing, you've got to know. You know, when I went through the third grade, I understood I better go to the fourth grade. When I went through the sixth grade, I rolled up my sleeves. You guys did too. I got to go to the seventh grade. I just have to go. The more I grow, the more I need to know. So the more I know, the more I grow, the more I need to know. The more I know, the more I need to grow. It's an endless process. Wonderful. Now, having said that, John chapter 6. I want to know at least some things, and they should have known them. John chapter 6. And you'll notice, please, in verse 37. 6 and 37, John. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, double negative, negatives, negatives. Positively, positively will not cast out. You can't come and be thrown out the door. Like in Afghanistan, you can't come to the airport, you can get on the plane. You're going to come to me, I'm not going to cast you out. Not going to do it. For reason, 38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which sent me, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in his wonderful, wonderful nature, essence, we're in his presence. And this is the Father's will which he sent me, hath sent me, that he of all the whosoevers that have come, of all which he hath given me, I should lose how much? Nothing. So if I have received the Lord as my Savior, at least the 11 that are there, disciples, and all here, all thereafter, that's us, at least know this. God died on the cross for me. God did that before the world was ever created. He did it literally in Jerusalem on Calvary's cross. God did that. That's a real thing. And he told me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is my witness, believe righteousness and judgment. I'm going to believe and get saved. I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior. I believe that. And God said, if I believe and receive my son, his son, 1 John 5:12, he that hath the son hath life. He that hath not the son of God hath no life. I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I cannot be lost. That's nothing to do with my goodness or my badness. It's nothing to do with anything. I am a human being, the same as you guys are. And you're created by God. God, as like we shared in Hebrews this morning, Hebrews. God owns you. There's no one, there's nothing that anywhere, shape, or form that God doesn't already own. Owns the pews, owns the stars, owns your clothes. The clothes are mine. No, the clothes came from some system, from a sheep or a dog or something. And you got all of those things. Wow. God owns them all. So God said, when you're going to offer me something, remember, I own it all. So don't feel you're giving up something because you didn't have it in the first. That's why we give. What are we doing? We're showing God that, what are we saying in our giving? We're saying, God, I understand you own everything. That's all. We're acknowledging God owns it. That's what we're doing. God doesn't need it. All we're doing is say, well, we need it to pay the bills. Well, that's true in a sense. But that is the point. God already has taken care of it. And we're to trust him with all our hearts. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, God's going to go and not lose anything. So I'm going to be saved. I got to have that. If I'm up and down in that, that's crazy. I got to settle that. So I may not know this other stuff, the wonderful assignment. I don't know that. I don't even understand it. But I know I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he seated me and saved me in a wonderful way. And therefore, saying that, over if you would please, to Ephesians. What else would I want to know? Just reading the Bible and not knowing much of anything, but passing it at least. What should I know? From here and now, I can't get lost. Secondly, what about the future? What about my future? Second Ephesians chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins before we got saved, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ, by grace he is saved. And he saved us, that's right. He'll lose nothing that he saves. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's my future. That's my future. Uh-huh. That's my future. Quickened, God made us alive, saved by grace, seated in heavenly places in Christ. And the reason, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So God, that's my future. I don't understand my future, my job, my work, my home, my health, my wealth. I don't know, but God knows. But one thing I do know, God isn't going to forget me. I can't get lost. I have to be saved, and I have to have my future. I have to have my future. So, now it's something for me to hang in there and somehow work this out. Therefore, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God died on the cross for you and offered you the good news. All you had to do was believe and get saved. And that makes you a witness to the world around you, and God uses you at work, at home, at school, wherever you are, India, China, Africa, South America, what difference does it make? God uses you to show what? Can God save? Yes. And absolutely, God proves what? God, are you the Savior? I am. There's a saved person. You want to argue with God? Go ahead. But there's a saved person who can't get lost. There's a saved person who has a wonderful future in heaven. I'm going to show that now, saved person, right now. He's saved, can't get lost. And I'm going to show it in heaven. I'm going to show my grace. That's why he's going to sit there. So everyone in hell, pay attention. God's going to show his wonderful grace. Wow. Now, having said that, keep that in mind, and must not bypass it. Verse 10. Reason for this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful what? To work, to outwork his wonderful work. Whose workmanship is it? Not mine. Who's going to make this happen? What was the encouragement to the disciples in John chapter 16? The encouragement isn't going to be among them and to have a circle and people talk to each other, try to encourage each other, like in counseling or something. No. The encouragement's God. God's going to be your encouragement. God's going to do it. Because see, God saves you. God saved you. God saves you. You are, verse 10, his workmanship. Now God's going to do what he's going to do. He has a wonderful plan for your life. We started with that. God has a wonderful plan for your life. You wonder what your life is? You've got to work for Joe's sweatshop and do all of those different things and retire, you know, and you got your golf clubs or whatever, baseball bat, whatever you use, and you got your everything going to retire, you know, and then the government's going to take it all away with taxes and new laws, and therefore, and you go to prison. If you want to be a believer, you go to prison. Prison, you can't say anything against anybody. Wow, okay. Is that it? No, God, you've given us an awesome future. It has nothing to do with here and now. It has everything to do with here and forever. So God, I'm saved, a child of God, and I'm going to sit there out in, somewhere out there, God, with you. You're the head, I'm the body, with the body. And show your wonderful grace to save us, whosoever's, that are nobody's, to save us. Aha! Now you're going to do that. And God, you do it. That's right. I do it, said God. You don't do it. God does it. Now, God, I got that part. Now what? You said you have many things to say unto me, unto us, and I can't carry them. Well, I need to grow up. And if I live another day, another week, I need to keep growing and learning. Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, picking up, please. You would recall it. Verse 24, for a little context, chapter 11, Matthew, verse 28, 11:28. Come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's an invitation, as we'll see tonight. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Now God, think of the oxen again, head under the yoke, a big oxen yoke up there, and a big oxen yoke, and they're heavy. I know, I got one in my living room for my farm. So I say that to you. It's one of my only things I have, Jeanette and the oxen yoke. Two things. Wow. Now, so they're heavy. And the underneath is God. The Lord said, I'm under one side of it. It's my yoke, not yours. And I invite you to put your head under your other side of the yoke so that we can move down the corridor. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So we're going to go down, corridor, we're going to go down. God, and God said, my yoke is easy, light. Why? Because I'm under it. I'm able to do whatever has to be done, however, whenever, whoever. It doesn't make any difference. God is God. God plus nothing is everything. Wow. So, take my yoke upon you and learn. The word learn has to do with what? It has to do with experiencing. To bring into your experience the God of truth and the truth of God. So that you can what? Tell the truth about God. Man was created. You and I are created to tell the truth about God. That's why they're his witnesses. The world doesn't want to believe. And the unsaved world lives in darkness and they don't want to have any light. They don't want to show God. Well, God's going to show them by the whosoever's to believe, righteousness, judgment. He's going to show them in the believing heart. Who's in the believing heart to make that happen? Christ Jesus, the Lord. What did he get? We did all these things 1,000 times, like Galatians 1:24. What are you going to say about the Apostle Paul that gets saved? Are you guys looking at him? God is in you of a truth. God is in you. They aren't talking about a little. You're nicer, you're kinder, you're politer. No, God is in you. That's the testimony. So now, I want you to get, my yoke is easy, my yoke upon you, and learn of me. I want you to bring into your experience who I am. That's what I want you to do. I want you to learn about me. Think of Sunday school perfectly fits this. All scripture is given, it all about me. So from Genesis to Revelation, it's a wonderful, wonderful one. God is going to help me understand God, my Savior, my Creator. We're to understand him and enjoy him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, saying that and doing that as we just did. Now, so God, you want me to go and learn. That's right. Now, what am I going to learn? I'm going to learn about you. How am I going to learn about you? Well, that's why I have the Bible, as we just did. So I got the Bible so I can learn about you. It's all about you from start to finish. All scripture is about me. The law, the prophets, everybody. It's all about me. Luke 24, etc. It's about God. From Genesis, it's about God. I read about God and that's what I'm going to do. So God, I'm going to know you. I'm going to grow. The more I grow and the more I know, the more I need to know, the more I grow. It's just going to happen. So if I never grow, why am I not growing? Because I'm not knowing. I'm not letting it sink in. If it's sinking in, that's what I tell the men. We tell these truths, awesome truths. And if you're learning anything, you should be able to pick up the same truth we're looking at. You can't do it in the same way, everything. But at least you understand. At least you could say what? God has a wonderful purpose for my life. And that life, that purpose needs to work. You should be able to say that. That's what we just did. Been doing it. And if you keep knowing, then you're going to keep growing. But if you don't grow, then you aren't knowing. And you could sit here 20 years, 25 years, whatever you want. It isn't going to do it until you absorb some of it. Get your learning in your heart. It has to know and grow. If you don't grow, then you're not knowing. And if you're not knowing, you're not growing. It's just not going to happen. You can't go to the first grade to the 10th grade in one jump. You have to work your way there. There's nothing wrong with that. And don't beat yourself to death about that, not that you would. You have to inch your way along. Some people come to you, I don't know where to find things in the Bible. They keep turning the Bible, I can't find anything. Well, be of good cheer. Eventually you'll catch up and you'll find Matthew. And pretty soon you go home and try to look for something. And pretty soon you're using your Bible. You're using it. That's what I did. I came here and I said, how do I find Matthew? And I spoke on, no, I'm just kidding. And we just did. Yeah, that's how you learn. That's how you learn. You got to know and grow, and you'll find rest for your soul. And verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. So God, that's what it is. Uh-huh. That's what I want you to know. It's a wonderful thing. God has me to it. And God reminds me that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by him. And God reminds me I have to abide. And if I don't abide, it isn't going to come out good. And I'll just check that. Hang on. See what it says. John 15, see if it's still there. Now remember, if your head's under the yoke, wherever he is, you is. He is, you is. Wherever the yoke goes, you go. That's how it goes. You have no way to go, because as long as you put your head under the yoke. But I don't want to put my head under the yoke, 1 Peter 5. And then you won't. Then you won't. And you just keep, you go your way, he'll go his way, as it were. No, just keep your head under the yoke, and you're going to have to keep moving along. If you don't want to do that, then you won't learn. And you got to learn. So in the process of all of that, exercising all those wonderful things, we have to go, and you can't do it without the yoke. So John chapter 15, that's why he talks about abiding. The branch and the vine have to, like the tree limb, has to stay in the tree. Verse 5, chapter 15, John. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Well, that sounds nice, nice thing. Isn't that nice? Except what? Without me you can do nothing. You can't do anything without me. You have to abide. Nothing wrong with that. How can you can't? I didn't have a piece of limb. If I had a limb here, make believe. I can't tell the limb to produce apples. If it's just here, in order for the limb to produce what it was made for, I got to connect it. That's what I got to do. How am I going to do it? I can't. The limb has to abide. What's wrong with that? That's logic. That's just where it is. God said, how are you going to produce the life that I want you to have without it being my workmanship? How are you going to enjoy the uncreated life of God apart from God? How can you enjoy living apart from breathing? How can you enjoy God apart from believing? You got to believe. You got to breathe. That's what you do. So therefore, without me you can do nothing. Now, over if you would please. Over to Psalm 138. We didn't get very far, but I hope we got a little bit. Psalm 138. Now David, a different, wonderful, wonderful David. David didn't have the advantage you do, but he had a wonderful relationship. And David will say, because he understood what? You know it, verse 2. I will worship toward, this is 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. Why? For thy loving kindness and for thy truth, the God of truth and the truth of God. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And we shared that 100 times to keep in what? God gives his word in a most wonderful way. And we're to honor his word. That's public. We're in the presence of the invisible, infinite God, holy and righteous. What do we have? Can't touch, taste, smell. You have his word. That's what you have. You have his word. That's how you're going to go. That's how you're going to know. You have his word. I put my word out in front of you. I honor my word. I honor my word. You can do what you want to say about God, but there's your word. What are we going to do with this word? Close the book, open the book, read the book, know the book. Verse 8. David, what are you going to do? What do you know, David? The Lord will perfect, complete, accomplish. That which concerns me, surrounds me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine hand. God's mercy continuing, goings, taking for his sake. God's going to go, I should say. The Lord will perfect that which concerns for my sake. Thy mercy. The Lord will perfect and finish. What did we read a minute ago? God, you start, but you won't lose anything you start with. And we were assured, at least if we're saved, that God has to put us up there in forever to show his grace. In forever, that's what has to happen. So God, what do you know, David? I know, verse 8, the Lord will perfect, complete, accomplish that which concerns me. God's going to finish it. That's what you know, David. That's right. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Now, having got that, over if I can, please, over to Job. God, you're going to do a wonderful thing to the disciples. They don't know it yet. It's going to take Pentecost and all of your wonderful grace to save them and make it happen. Now, Job didn't have a lot of advantages. He was way back there with Abraham, with Moses and before Abraham. I mean, he's way back there. So he don't have a whole lot of stuff that we got. He had a whole lot of stuff we don't have. But he knew God, he honored God, etc. When you come to God allowed the devil to go and do what he did, as you know, and the devil did all kinds of things to his family, his body, his friends, his animals, took away animals, took away his family, except for his wife, did all of those things, servants. God stripped him down, as it were. They let the devil do so from head to toe, boils or whatever it was, plagued. Wow, having to live trying to soothe himself. Wow. So therefore, God, you let all that happen. Why? I wanted him to grow. I wanted him to know. I wanted him to know, grow and know and know and grow. That's what I wanted to. Now the devil doesn't care about that. But God does. And so therefore Job, having a wonderful relationship to God, is now having to exercise and advance from square one to square two, from grade three to grade four, as it were. So therefore, verse 8, behold, I go forward, he is not there, backwards, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself in the right hand that I cannot see him. But, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, put me to the test in trouble, I shall come forth as gold, etc., etc. God, you're going to do all of these things, right? Sliding down, verse 13. But he is of one mind, and who can trust him? And what his soul desireth, even that God does what he does, because he's God. We are his workmanship. That's right. Verse 14, for he performeth the work for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. David, you knew that, and so Job knew that before you. Appointed for me. God has a wonderful plan. The plan isn't what you think it is. Before there were stars made, God had you in his mind and the plan. God already had you marked out. All you had to do was believe and fulfill it, if you wanted to. It's a wonderful plan. So God, David, what did you know? Job, what did you know? Verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take, and he hath tried me, I should come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Now God, you're going to go? When I try to go backwards from the commandment of his lips, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more precious than more than my necessary food. So God, I understand. And so Job isn't backing away. Job isn't backing down. He's going to go and grow. He's going to know and grow. So God wants to understand this stage of his life, your stage that you're in right now, you've got to get to the next stage. And therefore, verse 15, therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. God, you ever had that problem going grading? You know, you got to do something, get a job, go to a specific job, a class or something. Am I going to be able to do that? Wow. That's what you're going, don't you enter that sometime? You get that? It isn't till you do it. And then all of a sudden you're going to have to step up to the blackboard and do it by yourself. And you say, am I going to be able to do it? Am I going to be able to do that? See, it's one thing if it isn't happening. But when it happens, that's what we said. It's one thing to know these truths. It's another thing to start living them. It's a whole nother world. Therefore, what do you got, Job? I'm afraid of him, for maketh my heart soft. The Almighty troubleth me, because I am not cut off from the dark. God, you don't quit. Why don't you quit and leave me alone? Well, God just may do that, but I wouldn't want to tell him that. People do that, you know. They keep going to God. I don't want, and pretty soon God doesn't. Did you ever notice that? You're convicted, you're bothered, and pretty soon you aren't bothered anymore. I don't read my Bible. And pretty soon you don't need to read your Bible. I don't believe. It's real easy. Therefore, God, you don't quit. No, because I saved you. And I'm going to go, and even if you fail and flunk out and dump me under the yoke, then I'm going to go and save you anyway. And you're going to be saved. That's assuming you're saved in the first place. And if you're saved and you receive the Son as your Savior, then you have to be saved. Wherever Christ is, you're saved. You're safe. So God, here we are looking. God, you're going to do that with Job, and Job, as you know, at the end, chapter 42, in closing, appreciate your patience. Chapter 42, about God. Verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Wherefore have I uttered that I understood not? Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I never understood the fifth grade till I got there. I was afraid of the tenth grade till I got there. God, you put him through it. That's right. I wouldn't have gone. But you held in there, Job. And God, you held in there, and God took you through it. And therefore, I beheld things too wonderful for me. And God, I never believed. And therefore, I awake to my awesome human frailty. Verse 6, therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. God, what an awesome God you are. To save a wretch like me. Wow. Now, so in closing, God blesses Job twice over and more so. I hope you got a little bit. Know and grow, grow and know. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and your grace. God, help us in every way as we stumble along And our Father, we're going to look to you with thanksgiving. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.